I'm going to ask you to find with me Galatians, the sixth chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 10 today. Today we wrap up our series titled Multiply, and it is my heart's ambition. This is my ambition as the pastor of this church to see the members, the families in this church, to go to multiplication in their life when it comes to giving, when it comes to receiving, when it comes to everything in your life. I'm just praying that the good things are going to be multiplied in your life. And I hope everyone here will remember some of the things that we've talked about. One of the things we talked about is God expects us to finish with more than we started with. That's something that He wants us to do. We are trusted with X amount. God expects us to wind up with more than X amount. And here's how that works. Simply, God wants us to honor Him. He wants to be first honored with whatever we are trusted with. It's just simply an act of faith. We don't give based on what we have accumulated. We give based on what we have right at a given moment. And we understand that without faith, we cannot please God. The book of Hebrews paints that picture very vividly. And really, for the only way for us to grow what we've been trusted with is we need to use it to be a blessing to others. That's what God expects out of us. Or in one word, just simply the word generous. God wants us to be generous. Now today, we're going to close out this series, and I want us to look at something that really ties all these wonderful truths together. And it's simply sowing and reaping. Now, it's not a very original title, but it is a truth nonetheless. See, I've already told you, Brenda and I were not always taught this as we were growing up. Even as adults, we weren't taught this. In fact, where I came from, if you were a tither, you were a bit like a dodo bird. Now, if you don't know what a dodo bird is, go Google that. And no one has seen a dodo bird for quite some time. In fact, we're talking centuries. But God has done a divine work in our life, and I'm so grateful for it. And it's just simply come from this act of worship that we give in our worship. Giving is a part of our worship. So with all of my heart and all of my soul today, I love to preach and teach about generosity. Because honestly, I want everyone to hear me today. It has been a life-changing thing for us as a couple. Our generosity has not only blessed us, but it has blessed those around us that we have been able to be generous with. Now, as much as I love to talk about this issue, I also know that there are those in the religious realm who use these type of messages to manipulate people for their own personal gain. And it's shameful, it's wrong, and I understand that. You can do some channel surfing, especially early in the morning or very late at night, and you'll come across manipulative messages that are something like this. Sow your seed, and you're going to reap today. Or they'll say things like, for a $50 donation, we're going to send you a prayer cloth. And we want you to put this prayer cloth over your head, and every ill in your life is going to go away. Or they'll say things like, give your seed, and you're going to get $1,000 or $100,000 in cold, hard cash. Give today, and you'll be rewarded immediately. They say things like, just reach in those greens and pull out those greens. We're talking about the green salad of salvation. Now, those folks are charlatans. They're not teaching, they're not preaching what the Word of God is telling us. And just because they're doing the wrong thing, that's not going to stop me as the pastor, as God's man, from teaching about the right thing. And to teach, there is a correct way to give. There's a correct way to respond back to what God has trusted us with. And really, when you get down to it, because someone's teaching the wrong thing, that should not pull us away from teaching the right thing. If anything, it should prompt us to teach the correct doctrine, the right doctrine. And that is where I'm at today. So today we're going to look at the law of sowing and reaping, which is about generosity and trust. Those words to me are synonymous with one another. Be generous with what you have right now and trust God will meet your needs in the future. In other words, Christ said it like this: if you do what's right today, then tomorrow will take care of itself. Here's another way that I could stress that key point, this key idea, really this principle today. What you keep is all that you will ever have. What you give, God multiplies. In fact, I'd like us to repeat that together today. I think it will be therapeutic for all of us today. So let me say it again. So after I say it, I want us to repeat this in unison. What I keep is all that I will have. What I give, God multiplies. So on three, let's try to say that together. One, two, three. What I keep is all that I will have. What I give, God multiplies. Now, friends, that's just a biblical principle that's in Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. And it works in every area of our life. It really does. It doesn't have to be necessarily finances. But today we're going to look how Paul took that principle. Paul, a teacher of the law, a man who had the Jewish righteousness and found out the righteousness of God exceeds Jewish righteousness, and he asked Christ to be his Lord and Savior, how he expounded further on that point, on the idea of being generous and trusting God ahead. So let's look on the screen today. We have some verses, and we have our text, obviously, and I want to read. Now, I'm going to stop at the end of verse 6, and I want to make a couple running comments here. Now, here's what Paul writes to the Galatian church. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Now, I underlined in my wonderful computer program called Microsoft the word share. Now, before we go any further, I want to focus on that word share. If you have a King James Bible, it will have the word communicate. And we get that word from the Greek word koinoneo. Koinoneo, and it means an associate, it means a partaker. Now, friends, what this verse 6 is trying to tell us is that the needs of the ministers need to be met by those that are in the church. If you are taught in the church, this is not a self-serving thing, but if you are taught in the church, then it is your obligation. It is expected from what you have been trusted with that the needs of those who minister in the church are met by those that are in the church. So let's reread that verse again with those words inserted in. Let him who is taught the word associate in all good things with him who teaches. Listen to it this way. Let him who is taught the word partake in all good things with him who teaches. Clearly this is teaching us that we are in this together. As you go, I go. As I go, you go. I mean, that's just the way it is. So distilling this down, it's just simple and clear to me that if you're receiving teaching, if you're receiving a benefit from God's word here at this congregation, then it's everybody's responsibility to meet the ministry needs of this church. And amen. That's Bible. Now, look what he says here in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. Borrowing from a word from an old Yes song, you can fool yourself, you can cheat until you're blind, you can cut your heart, it can happen. That's what people do to themselves. They deceive themselves. You're not going to fool God, though. Now look at verse 8. For he who sows to the flesh will reap to the flesh corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Simply, friends, this is telling us there's two ways to invest. What God has trusted us with. Every one of us here have been trusted with something. Some more than others, some less than others, but all of us have been trusted with something. And he's telling us here it can either be temporal, things that will not last, or it can be eternal, things that will last. Next is this wonderful life lesson, verse 9. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Those are wonderful words. That's a life lesson. What he's saying is get after it and keep after it. Verse 10, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Now may God bless the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of his word today. Now, I have to admit this. Often this passage is taught that the way we treat others will come back to us. We treat others good, we'll receive good back. If we treat others bad, we will receive back. I've done that. And I think it's certainly an application that we can draw from this. But let me be clear. These verses are far more than this Buddhist, Hindu expression of karma. This is not karma that the Bible's talking about here. We miss the point if we forget that verse 6 is setting a foundation for financial matters for his people and for his church. And that what we have discovered is this. The Bible has a whole lot to say about financial stuff. And in those passages, the Bible is just clearly teaching just how important it is the way we approach stewardship. Now, Jesus made it clear that your attitude toward money will ultimately affect the attitude of your heart and ultimately can affect your eternal destiny. And we need to get this attitude right in life when it comes to money. And out of that attitude will be the way that we approach every relationship in our life. And so I want us to consider these passages in the way that I think Paul really meant them to be considered. They were financial in nature. And so we were going to talk about six distinct laws that we're going to unpackage from the Bible today. The first law is this, the law of dissemination. Now, the word dissemination means to spread, to broadcast. If there's going to be a harvest, simply someone has to be willing to sow some seed. That's true in every area of life. It's true when it comes to finances as well. Sometimes we reap because we have sown, and there are other times we have reaped and we have not sown. But there will not a person here today that has ever reaped something that has not been sown. Did you understand that? See, there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. They tried to do that in the laboratory. They have not been able to conquer that one yet. No one will conquer that because God has built in some laws in his creation that are unchangeable. In my family's garden growing up, I would see corn come up where we hadn't planted any corn. And I can remember asking my dad, "Dad, where'd that corn come from?" So I have a picture here this morning. Does anybody recognize that? That's volunteer corn. My dad said, "Mark, that's volunteer corn." Now, that's a stalk of corn out in the middle of a soybean field, okay? And I said, "Daddy, what is volunteer corn?" Because I had to ask him because I didn't have a smartphone back then. Google wasn't available back then. So Dad told me this. "Well, Mark, here's the way it is. Marky, this is the way it is. Volunteer corn comes from the fact that there was corn probably planted there at later time, and there's some of that corn left over from the harvest, and because of that corn being left over, it has come up on its own. But the fact is, somebody left that corn there." See, there can be no harvest without planting. Everything we reap has this basic built-in law. It has been sown either by us or it has been sown by someone else, because for there to be a harvest, simply someone has to plant. Now, someone might ask this, and I think it's a fair question. How do you know when it's time to plant? How do you know when it's time to sow? Well, the Bible basically tells us this in the parable of the sower. We are to sow indiscriminately. We are to sow everywhere and anywhere. It doesn't really matter. Let me show you a verse on the screen here today. It's going to go back up on the screen. It's concerning the law of dissemination. And it's this from Ecclesiastes. "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." So the bottom line to all of us is this here. Regardless of anything else that is going on, we are to do what we are supposed to do. Because if we do not do what we are supposed to do, then there will be nothing to draw from. Now, in this sanctuary that we are sitting in, there's only a few of us that have been here for the length of this church. There's some of you who have been here long enough that you were involved in the sanctuary being built. But there are people that were back in the day that were sowing indiscriminately. See, back in the day, I'm talking 1980. Some of you are saying here, "I wasn't even born back then." Well, I was. Just getting out of high school. But back in the 80s, there was 22% interest rates I remember those days. Not happy days. Anybody remember those? Raise your hand if you remember 22%. Yeah. See, some of us have been through some tough stuff. And in those days, God took this guy by the name of Bob Skirvin. And he called him to lead this church long before then, about 20 years before that. But called him to lead in this building program. And so you're sitting today in a place where you probably didn't sow any financial seeds back in that day, obviously. But somebody did. You're reaping the benefits from that today. Someone was willing to sow in the back end of all this, indiscriminately. So in the past, we can reap in the future. And it is our challenge today as members. As God's called people here, it is our call to do that for the next generation and the generation after that. Really, we're talking how many generations since 1980? Somebody do the math. 3, almost 4. So that's the law of dissemination. Here's the next law, the law of identification. Now, this law says this. You reap the same exact thing that you've sown or what has been sown by someone else. So, whatever you reap is identified with whatever has been sowed. The Message paraphrase translates verse 7 this way, and I want to read it to you because I think it really sort of touches a good chord here. It says this, don't be misled. No one makes a fool out of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. Listen, to expect anything else from God would absolutely make him a liar, would make a mockery of God, who he is, because God has established this in his creation. He's established that what you plant or what someone else planted is going to be the exact thing that comes back up. If you go back to Genesis, the first chapter, verse 11, it says this, then God said, now, by the way, that is not some philosopher, it's not some professor, it's the Lord God Almighty, it's the creator of heaven and earth that's saying this. Now, here's what he says, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs that yield seed, and the fruits of trees that they yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself, who on the earth, as it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herbs that yield seed according to its kind, and the trees that yield fruit, whose seed is itself according to its kind. And then God says this commentary on this likeness, and he said it is good. He established in the botany world that what you plant is what you get. Well, he's established it in the financial world as well. There's a locked-in likeness when it comes to sowing that cannot be disregarded. It's true in agriculture. It's true in our duties and stewardship. When we give to the church, we're going to reap from the church. And praise God, others are going to reap from this church. And we're sowing right now. We received an offering just a little bit ago. That was us casting our seeds. That was us planting into God's kingdom, showing that he's trusted us with something, and we're expecting him to take care of us. We're expecting good things to come out of what he's trusted us with and what we've given back to him. So if you want to see a church go from good to great, start planting financially and see what difference that will make. Then we see this, the law of anticipation. It's a wonderful law. It's a third law, and I want to explain it. You don't get immediately what you sow. You need to understand that. In this society that we have of instant gratification, there is no instant gratification when it comes to stewardship. There really isn't. You know what they call that? They call that going down to the boat and putting it on 21 to win or whatever. They call it going down to the track and putting money on old Betsy to beat old Shoeshine. That's not the way God intended us to bet, he didn't intend us to bet, I don't think, but he didn't intend us to gain our gains that way. Now, in verse 9, it says this, in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That tells us a couple things, and I want to show you these things because they're important. They're important whether we're talking about this church or we're talking about your personal life, we're talking about your work life, whatever it is. You've got to keep after it. If you don't keep after it, it ain't going to get going. Bad grammar, good theology. Some seeds come up quickly and others not so quickly. The same thing is true about life. There are a few things that happen almost immediately. Like touching an iron, there's like a nanosecond that you don't really feel the pain, but in after that nanosecond, you're going to feel the pain. It's going to happen that way. Or like when good news comes, it typically puts a smile on our face. Those things are sort of immediate in nature, but when it comes to planting, when it comes to the good things in life, the really good things in life, the Bible is trying to tell us is that when it comes to giving, we've got to keep after it. It's just not a one and done thing. And because God designed it that way, it makes it good. Now, today I have, again, 10 $10 bills representing $100. Now, if we're going to plant, this is what God says for us to do. Before I do anything else with this, if this is my pay for the week, I take $10. That goes here. And nothing else is to be done with it. That's God's. That's what God says. Then, we need to pay ourselves, folks. We really do. You take another $10 and you put it over here where you cannot touch it. You put it away. You put it away. Don't look at it. Wait 20 years before you look at it. But you keep putting it away. You don't go in digging in it, borrowing out of it. Don't do that. Now, I understand there's mitigating circumstances that sometimes those things arise. But if you can do that, you've got 80% left here. $80 to meet the needs of your household. Whether it's eating, whether it's household items, whether it's making your house payment. And listen, don't spend all this 80 on one thing. That's not good stewardship. And I'll talk about that in a little bit here. But that's what it takes. Can I just be truthful with you? That's what it takes to get ahead. The first fruits of the Lord. Second, pay yourself. Thirdly, live well under the 80% that's left over. You're going to be a whole lot healthier and happier. And just through the natural process of hard work, biblical principles, you're going to end up with more than you started with. You will. That's true in every area of your life as well. Let me challenge the parents here. You need to teach this to your kids. It's a responsible thing to do as a Christian parent, to teach your children that this is the way things work. Don't let them hit the real world and then wind up not knowing that, hey, you know what? I don't know what to do. That's not being smart on your part. Teach them to model this. So after you've got to keep after it. It's not a one and done thing. Here's the next thing. Need to expect good to come from it. It will come from it. Teach and model this to your kids. Expect good to come from this. In stewardship terms, it's simply called delayed gratification. Let's say that today. Delayed gratification. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. In due season, the Bible says we will reap if we faint not. Ecclesiastes 11th chapter, verse 1, Solomon writes, cast your breads upon the water, for you will find it after many days. Well, what does that mean, cast your bread upon the waters? Well, it's a poetic way of saying invest systematically. Invest in the needs of the church. Systematically invest in what your needs in your household are. And when you systematically do that, after a period of time, it will come back to you. In the world's greatest sermon, Jesus Christ said, do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thief breaks in and steals, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So listen carefully. Jesus said, this is super important. What you do with all this, friends, is super, super important, because it ultimately can affect your eternal destination, because it is a reflection of what's going on in your heart. Do the right things with your money and see good things come from it. Now, here's the next one. None of us can take it with us, but we can send it on ahead. Let me add that in there. Now, here's the next law, the law of reproduction. Now, when we sow seed, we're going to get more than we've sown. Now, I have here a wonderful illustration. I couldn't quite find the illustration I wanted because no one has corn that is on the husk, but that's what I wanted today. But barring anything, making big travels to South America to get some corn on the husk, I didn't do that. But this is an ear of corn, okay? I want you to think about this. I can eat this ear of corn, and it's gone. Or I could take and plant this ear of corn, and in 1 year, I'll have one bushel of corn, okay, in 1 year. Now, I could take that bushel of corn and plant that bushel of corn, and here's what we're going to have after that. We're going to have 100 bushels of corn. Now, if you take those 100 bushels of corn and plant those, you now have 1 million bushels of corn. That's the law of multiplication. See? That's just a wonderful thing. When it comes to giving, you always reap more than you sow if you're willing to sow in a generous manner. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verses 6 through 7, Paul writes this, "But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now, friend, it's so very plain. If you want to be rich, then you give. If you want to be poor, then you grasp. If you want to be abundant, then you need to scatter. If you want to be needy, then hoard. If there's a farmer out there, and I can qualify, I guess, basically sometimes as a farmer. If you count grass as being anything, I guess I grow a bumper crop of grass every year. But I used to do a little farming, so to speak. Gardening would be a better terminology. But if a farmer is out there, if he's considering what could happen, he would never do anything at all. Well, there could be a drought. I better save my seed. Nah, that doesn't work. He could say, well, there could be a freeze. I'm not going to plant. That doesn't really work as well. There could be a blight. I'm not going to plant. No, that doesn't work as well. Because whether it's windy or blight or anything else, we need to do the right thing. So here's the practical for us. Man, don't be a market watcher. Don't be fearful of the price of pork bellies or oil or any other commodity, what gold or silver is doing, is going up or going down. Be a man, be a woman of faith, and give so there'll be a harvest. Because if you don't do what's right today, don't expect anything to be there tomorrow. Don't base what you do with the kingdom of God based on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Not wise. Now, I need to offer this warning as well. It's a very stern warning, but a warning that nonetheless needs to be given. There's negatives, friends. The negatives, what's true of these positive things I've spoke about, it's true of the negatives. When it comes to your finances, you can sow some bad seed. Now, I hope you remember as I started out this series, I talked about how young couples often have this burden placed upon them by society, by family, that at 24, 26 years of age, they need to live like somebody that has had 30 or 40 years worth of work going on. It just does not work that way. You don't live at a standard at a young age that someone else has been working for quite some time. It just doesn't work. When Brenda and I first were married, I got some really, really bad advice. We needed a couple things, or at least we thought we needed some things, and there was this old store. Some of you may remember. I'm dating myself here, but I'll date myself nonetheless. Swallens. Anybody remember Swallens? Yeah. Swallens was interesting. We went into Swallens, and We thought we needed a dishwasher. You know what? There was four hands in that household. We had dishwashers. We convinced ourselves that we needed a dishwasher. So this sales guy, here's what he did. He said, you know, you need to establish credit. You need to get this going. And you need to buy everything you need on credit. Everything you want, get it on credit. So we wound up with a washing machine. We wound up with a dishwasher. We wound up with this doohickey, that doohickey, and had all these things around the house, which we had stuff. But what I also had on top of that, what I reaped from that, what she reaped as well, was all these little finance bills of $80, $60, $90, and all of them coming in every month. And what I found out, that our upkeep was exceeding our income, and it was going to be our downfall. I mean, it was ugly. You know what I reaped, what Brenda and I reaped, and believe me, this is just being honest with you all today. We reaped arguments over money. We reaped anxiety over money. We reaped things getting thrown around the house over money. Not her, but me. And she wasn't throwing me around. I was throwing some stuff around the house. Now, I'm just being transparent. Wasn't a good place. But praise God, we got with a financial program that got us out of that. I'm going to give you that financial program free of charge here today. And here's what it is. It's called hard work. I started painting houses on my off days. Painted houses in Mount Healthy, Grosbeck, Corain Township, everywhere. I painted wherever I could find somebody that would pay me to paint. I painted. I liked to paint outside over inside, but sometimes it was inside. But whatever it was, I did it. If somebody wanted me to do anything at their house, you know, clean up this yard or whatever, I did those things. So the formula was this: spend less than we were taking in. And we got to that place. And I can tell you that both of us would tell you today, it was not easy. It's no fun working 7 days a week like that, in which I work 7 days a week now anyway, but I'm happy to do that today because this is the kind of thing the Lord's wired me to do. But back then, it really wasn't fun. And it was a grand, glorious day when we got out of that mess. And God got us out of that mess. He didn't wave his magic wand and say, okay, all's forgiven. No. Typically, as long as it takes you to get into a problem, it's going to take you that long to get out of a problem. So we're talking, it was several years of doing that. But I was so grateful to be out from under that. And so if you're in a financial mess today, here's tough love. Spend less than what you're making. Now, does that mean that you got to do something extra? It very well may mean that. Maybe I shouldn't be sorry. I'm sorry. I'm retracting. I'm sorry that I told you I'm sorry. I'm going to retract that. Work hard. Find something extra to do. Whatever that may be. And just do it. And then you might see that the mess that you're in, you're going to start climbing out of. And if you're not in that mess today, then you praise God that you're not in that mess. You've done the right things. You've worked hard. You've worked smart. Maybe you've made a mistake or two, but that's okay. God, through his gracious and goodness to you, it's okay. And I want you to know that sometime at the end of March, that we're working on the dates here. Matt and myself are going to be working on some dates. But on Sunday evening, we are going to be offering the Financial Peace University from Dave Ramsey. Now, a lot of you have heard about that. Some of you have been through it. C.B. Cranford has been through it. He utilizes its material in his life. He speaks very highly of it, said it's just been life-changing for him. So, it wouldn't hurt any of us to sit through that class. I think there's 9 different sessions. I don't know where C.B. is. There's C.B. 9 different sessions, right? I was looking through it. I mean, it looks great. And ultimately, you know, it teaches you how to get out from under this. And by the way, this class will be available to people in the community. It'd be an outreach aspect of this church. So, Matt and I will have some announcements about that at a later date, but it's not only going to be upcoming in March, but there'll be times in the fall that we offer that as well. So you make it a point to be a part of that. All right? Next, we have this, the law of cultivation. Now, we see the phrase, do not be weary in well-doing. What does that mean? Well, I want to call that cultivation. That's why I call it the law of cultivation. Now, you can intensify the harvest more if you cultivate what is planted. I learned that in my garden. I sort of miss the garden. Every now and then, Brenda and I talk about, we need to get a little piece of property. I don't know how well they'd appreciate in Liberty Township me digging up the whole backyard and putting a garden out there, but we may find out here. But I missed the garden. It was a lot. It was hard work. Boy, it was good to eat that good stuff out of there. And anyway, but this is something I learned practice and practicality in a family garden. To increase the effectiveness of the stuff that was planted, you had to cultivate it. You had to work it. See, there was this implement. It was called a hoe. And what it is this long oak or hickory handle with a right angle piece of steel or iron at the end of it. That's a hoe. And then you would take that hoe and you would begin to work in the garden. You'd break the ground up. For tomato plants, you broke up around, sort of mound up the dirt that the water could get to those roots and do a good job with those tomato plants. You grow some big tomatoes. With the corn, there was things that would get around the corn, those morning glory vines. Man, you'd rake that hoe around there and break those things off and kill those vines because you didn't want anything competing with the stuff that you really wanted to grow there. And in general, you just worked the whole garden with that. You kept the garden. Man, our gardens looked good. It was a source of pride in our household because we kept good, clean, weed-free gardens. That doesn't happen by accident. And it'd just be silly to plant something and never work it. Sort of like bringing a kid in the world. Never investing in it. Never loving it. It's just silliness. It wasn't easy work. It was grunt work, but it was the work that was necessary to ensure that the harvest would be as plentiful as it could be. I can remember, 7, 8 years old, blistering my hands working in that garden. And it never hurt me, by the way. Hard work has never killed anybody. I don't know if that's true, but I just said it. So there must be some marketable truth in it. Here's the practical. We live in a world that not only the ground is cursed, but the situations around us are cursed. They really are. There's a myriad of things that pull us away from really cultivating in God's kingdom like He's called us to do. What we've sown financially in this ministry, it certainly needs to be cultivated. 1 Corinthians 3 chapter verse 6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gives the increase. We all get after it. We roll up our sleeves. It's wonderful to see how Jack and Rose do such a wonderful job along with Evan Harris with the ministry on Upward and doing the snacks and things that are going on there. That's all donated labor. It's wonderful to see that. Excuse me. All of us give financially to support the work of this church. We all need to roll our sleeves up to support the works of this church. We have a wonderful field to work in. It's called Butler County. We have a story to share. It's called the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that the greatest story ever? Isn't it the story that just ramps you up? When I think about the Gospel of Jesus Christ, man, I think about my salvation that He has given to me. And I think about how He can save the world with that message. We have a great building to meet in. It's 6853 Gilmore Road, Hamilton, Ohio, 45011. Phone number 513-868-0823. Fax number 868-0111. We've got a great place to be at. So let's not only give together, let's work together. And let me give you the final law here today. It's the law of participation, which we sort of touched on, but let's flesh that out a little bit more. Look at verses 6 and 10 together. We're going to take them together. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us all do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Now, I've already shared this message that there can't be any reaping without sowing. And with this law, I want to expound just a little bit more on that truth today. See, this law happens all the time. And I think this is a law that really is a picture of God's grace in many ways. So follow with me. If you were like me, you didn't have part of this church in the 80s. But we are participating where someone else has sown today. This building that we're in, the furniture that we are sitting in, was not, in general, paid by a lot of us that are sitting here today. Someone else has sown financially so that the harvest that we are a part of right now as members of this church can be plentiful. Now, we get to, right now, as members of this church, to invest as well. We're taking part of something that we haven't invested in. Do you know what? There are people that come here all the time that participate in different things we do that they haven't invested in. Come to Awana on Sunday night. Carol Babs was sharing when we have 60 kids in Sparkies. 60. That's not all church kids, folks. Come to Upward Basketball. Come around 11 o'clock and see the place full. There's people that are participating, haven't sowed anything here at all. But every week, there are children, there are adults, because people have been faithfully giving that are benefiting from what's done. And if the Lord tarries his return, reality is that there's going to be others. They're going to benefit. They're going to participate from simply what we have done. And you know what? That's good. That's not a bad thing. To me, it's a it's a picture of God's grace. Listen to what Jesus said in John 4, 37 and 38. For in this the saying is true. One sows, another one reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored, others who have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Now, friends, the law of participation just simply says we do it. We might participate in it. Others might participate in it. But if we don't do it at all, no one's going to be participating in it. If you're enjoying something right now, it's because someone else put the hard work into it. You know, I got this corn here somewhere. I don't know where this came from. It came from Kroger's. It's frozen. It's Kroger brand, by the way. Reach for a Kroger brand. Live a richer, better life for less. That's coming from a former employee. But here, somebody did this. I have the benefit. I'm going to take this home, and I'm going to nuke it, and I'm going to have it for part of my lunch today because I don't want it to go to waste. But somebody did that so I could benefit from that. And if you look at our text, it tells us to do good, especially to those in the household of faith. We need to be good to one another. We need to treat the staff good. We need to treat everyone good here. So, friend, what I have found in my life, and I'm sure it's probably true of you as well, if we err, we often err in sowing in the wrong places. And I mentioned in Brendan, our young married life, we sowed in some pretty bad places. We reaped the whirlwind for a while, but we got out from us. The gospel calls us to give, and that we might even give to those who probably will never say thank you. That's what we're called to do. So today, there is joy in giving. It's simply just this act of letting go. Letting go of money, letting go of part of ourself that we often can feel security in. Sometimes we hold $100 in our hand or $1,000 in our hand or $10,000 in the checking account. We think, oh, that makes me feel so good. But we're being called to let go. It's God's. It is the most important thing that we can do. See, it's a way that we obey. Jesus commanded that we deny ourselves. Every week, offerings come in here. And I don't take that lightly, by the way. Single moms, widowers, they give. And they continue to sow. None of us should take that lightly. When we give, it releases this egocentric self that we've got going on, and this false securities that we have going on, and it really frees us to care, because the anxieties of having have been just casted away. It produces an air of expectancy. We anticipate that God will lead us. God will grace us in some way. It makes life with God just this wonderful adventure. Because we live in a world that he saw fit worth dying for. We need to participate in his kingdom that it's worth giving toward. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I know that sometimes we can sow in a bad way. And I know, Father, that there are times that we can sow in a good way. I'm grateful that we are reaping today from those who chose to do the right thing. We say thank you for that. I want what I do in your kingdom financially to be a blessing for others. And I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you all to stand at this time. Today's takeaways are on the screen. And these are really taken right from where we preach from. These are things that are true. First is this: there can be no reaping without sowing. Whether good, bad, or indifferent. Nothing's going to come in if something hasn't been put out there. I will reap what I have sown, and others will reap what I have sown. That's true. We're all sowing it some way. Let's sow it in the right way. And it's never just enough to sow. We need to work at what we've sown. Roll the sleeves up. Get after it. This will help a good church go from a great church. So today, during this invitation time, what I'm asking you to do is to respond to this series of messages. If you haven't, respond in such a way that says, okay, I'm going to trust God. Make him first. Make him first in your finances. And then after that, just trust him. Trust him that he's going to take care of you. He's going to meet your needs. Now, don't have a gazillion dollars in debt and expect him to float your boat when you've got your wants and your needs mixed up. It doesn't work that way. You do the right thing now. You delay gratification now for the expectation that somewhere down the road, better things will come because you have done the right thing now. There's no need for you to walk up to the altar to do that today. You can purpose right in your heart right now to do that. And for others here today, maybe it's this. You've just not fully trusted Christ. You've not allowed the seed of the gospel to really take the right root in your heart. And so these applications that I've talked about today, see, God has invested in you. He's calling you. And if you don't have the right relationship with Christ right now, you can have that today. So in a few moments, we're going to have some invitation words from a song. We're inviting you to come. Inviting you to come. One of these counselors can share with you from the Bible how to have that right relationship with Christ. I'd be happy to share that with you. If you want to see me after the service, we can share with you as well then. But the response to this invitation is going to go far beyond just this moment in time. Over the next few months, over really the next year, I'm praying that we're going to see a harvest from what's been planted. So as we sing, please come.